You're listening to a message from Gateway Fellowship. Be sure to check us out at gatewayfellowship.com.
Well, Pastor Tom is not with us this morning, as you may have noticed. He had a small surgical procedure done on his eyelids this week on Thursday. He expects to be back with us on Tuesday, and I hope that's true. So he asked me to fill in this morning. You know, me being here reminds me that recently an elderly lady came into the lobby out here, and one of our fine greeters met her and escorted her into the auditorium here and asked her, "Ma'am, where would you like to sit?" And she said, "On the front row, please." And he said, "Ma'am, that's not a very good idea. The pastor's pretty boring." And she said, "Young man, do you know who I am?" He said, "No." She said, "I'm the pastor's mother." And he said, "Oh, do you know who I am?" She said, "No." He said, "Good." Oh, goodness. So for those of you who are sitting in the front, thank you so much for your boldness and bravery this morning. I appreciate it very much. So if you want to, YouVersion is available this morning. If you know about that online Bible program, you can follow along on YouVersion. Also, I want to let you know that in your chairs, under your chairs and in your pews, there are Bibles available. If you don't have one, you can use one. And take it with you. If you don't have one, we want to make those available. They're also available out in the lobby for free. We want people to read the Bible. Well, we spent the last 4 weeks in a series called, what? Go, you guys, that's right. It's based out of Matthew 28:19, where Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all the nations." So it's biblical. Check out Ephesians 2:10. We can read that together. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." We were created for good works. Paul went on to write in Ephesians 4, said this: "He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ." So it's clear that God's intent for us is that he left us here to be servants, to serve him, to bless the body, and to reach out to the lost. Have you ever thought about that? Why did God leave us here? I mean, he saved us. We could have just taken us home. But he left us here to serve him, to bless the body, and to help save the lost. From that biblical concept of go, then, we've gone into the four pillars of a go theology that we find in Romans chapter 12. You've heard these before. The first pillar is that every believer has a role. Every believer, as Tom said last week, has a spiritual gift, at least one, and needs to use that gift in serving the Lord. So every believer has a role, and that includes you this morning. The second pillar is that every role is important. Have you ever thought about a church that only had one gift? What if everybody in the church had the gift of speaking? Then everybody would want to be up here, right? What if everybody in the church had the gift of administration? We'd be really well organized, but boring, right? What if everybody in the church had the gift of servanthood, but there were no leaders? Or what if it were all leaders and those, you know, you get the picture. The church needs all the gifts. They're all important. The third pillar is that we are dependent upon each other. The body needs all its parts to function. Those of you who are dealing with a bad knee or a bad hip, you know this is true, or a bad eye. The body needs all its parts to function properly, and it's true in the spiritual body as well. And then the fourth pillar is that my role is an expression of my shape. And we're going to talk about that acrostic shape in a minute. You need to serve out of your uniqueness. And you are unique, and you need to serve out of that uniqueness. Now, we're going to use the acrostic SHAPE, S-H-A-P-E, as an outline for our call to service. And we've been using that the past few weeks. The SHAPE, our SHAPE, is our custom combination of capabilities that God has given us to serve him and others. And it's made up of, as you can see up here, our spiritual gifts that Tom talked about last week that each of us has. It's made up of our heart or our passions that Mario talked about early on in our series, and our abilities that Tom also talked about last week, the abilities that God has given each of us. Some of us are athletic, some intellectual, some mathematical, some can speak. He's given us those talents for his glory. Well, today we're going to focus on the last two parts of our SHAPE acrostic, personality and experiences. Personality and experiences. So, if you tune out the rest of the message, here's the one thing I want you to get today, okay? To be most successful and effective in our serving of the Lord, we need to minister or serve out of our personality and experiences, our strengths. God gave them to us for a purpose. Each of us is unique. He gave those things to us for a purpose so that we could serve Him out of who we are in our personality and our own experiences. So let's take a look at this area of personality. And the main point here is that you are indeed unique. Your personality refers to how you naturally think, feel, and act. Personality is a result of many things, but including heredity, environment, and choices that we make. And I don't know if you noticed, but personality is very complex. Experts tell us that there are over 18,000 individual characteristics that make up someone's personality. Think about that. So the chances that your personality is exactly like someone else's, very slim. 18,000. Some of your personality traits are inborn. Some are learned from experiences in life. To be all that God wants you to be, you need to understand your basic personality and how it affects you and others. Your personality has tremendous influence over your life. Proverbs 4:23 says this, "Your affections influence everything else in your life." It's amazing how your personality affects your entire life. And we've all met brilliant people who are tremendously gifted, who are failures in life because of personality flaws. But we've also met people who are, we would probably say, are just average people, but they're tremendously successful because of their personality. It has a huge influence on our success in life. Some of you know the name William Wilberforce. He was British. He was said to be a small, sickly, and delicate child with poor eyesight. Poor kid. And he suffered from ill health his entire life. But William Wilberforce had an amazing personality and great faith. And for 46 years, he fought a battle in Great Britain to abolish slavery. At the very end of his life, on his deathbed, he saw it abolished. It was his personality, his force of character, and his faith that allowed him to see that. Personality has a huge influence on our lives. It influences many things, including our decisions, how we make decisions. Maybe you're somebody that makes decisions with your head or your heart. Maybe you're somebody who makes decisions as a thinker or a feeler. So personality affects how you make decisions. It affects what kind of work you should do, whether you should be a librarian or a fireman. It affects what kind of person you should marry. Now, most of us know that we don't marry someone just like ourselves, right? So your personality impacts that. It also impacts what makes you feel happy or sad, how you react to stress, how you deal with change in your life, how you solve problems, how you relate to God. Not all of us relate to God the same way. And how you relate to others. And it affects what kind of ministry you should be involved in. For example, if you are an introvert, you probably wouldn't be the best greeter at the front door, would you? That's probably not the best fit. I remember years ago, I was leading a ministry office here in town, and we had a guy in our office, and we'll call him Bob. And I could tell that Bob was not happy. He just wasn't fulfilled in that role. He was our accountant. So one day I asked Bob to come in the office, and I said, "Bob, so it just doesn't seem like you're very happy here. So, you know, what's going on?" And he looked me right in the eye, and he goes, "I hate accounting." And I said, "You hate accounting? You're our accountant." He goes, "Yeah, I know." I said, "Well, how'd you end up in accounting?" He said, "Well, when I went to college, I didn't know myself very well. And so I chose something I thought I could make a living in, and I hate it." And I thought, "Wow, bummer. So, what would you like to do?" He said, "With passion, I want to be a teacher." I said, "Well, why don't you do it?" He says, "Well, I tried that. I tried to do it, and I just couldn't find a job." I said, "You know what? Right now is the perfect time. Every school district I know of is hiring." This was a number of years ago. I said, "You ought to do it. You ought to think about it. Life's too short to spend doing something you hate." He goes, "Yeah." So the day went on, and next morning, I'm in my office, and he comes in. He goes, big smile on his face. He goes, "Guess what?" I said, "What?" He goes, "I did it." I said, "Did what?" He goes, "I applied to be a teacher. I'm going back to school. And this is my 2-week notice." And you know what? He went back to school, became a part-time teacher, and loved it. You'd never meet a happier guy. It was a right fit for his personality. It's huge in terms of where we should serve. You may be an extrovert this morning. You may be an introvert. You may love routine or love variety. You may be a thinker or a feeler. You may be a sanguine like Peter, a choleric like Paul, or a melancholy like Jeremiah. But one thing is for sure, you are unique in all the world. There's no one just like you. And you know what? That's a good thing. Now, you and I both know that some personalities are more unique than others, right? We've all met them. Henny Youngman said this. He said, "You have a nice personality, but not for a human being." That's pretty sad, isn't it? A guy came up this morning after the 8 o'clock service, and he said to me, there was a politician who was being interviewed, and he was talking about a friend of his that he was running against. He said, "Oh, I love that guy. He's a great guy. He's only got one problem, his personality. He doesn't have one." So we all met people we maybe think don't have a personality, but everybody does. It's just different than yours and mine. Maybe you, like me, can relate to the person who wrote this. He said, "If it weren't for caffeine, I'd have no personality whatsoever." And sometimes before 8 o'clock in the morning, that's very true for me. Or maybe you agree with Charles Schwab, who said, "Personality is to a man what perfume is to a flower." Isn't that wonderful? It's if you get to know people and their personalities, it really is like perfume. But no matter how you feel about the issue of personality, we know that each of us is unique in our personality. Now, that has implications. It means that everyone in here sees things differently. We can look at the same event and see it differently. We interpret things differently. In other words, we think differently. We have a different grid for analyzing things. Everyone feels things differently. And everyone reacts differently. So because we have these different and unique personalities, I can't make the assumption that you understand me. Just because I said the words doesn't mean you understand me. And I can't assume that you think like I do. Right? Anybody here married? Mm-hmm. Okay. You know what I'm talking about. I remember vividly, I'm going to tell a story on my bride who's sitting here this morning. We were on our honeymoon, and she came to me one day during our honeymoon. She says, "Dave?" I said, "Yeah." She goes, "I need to talk." I'm like, "Okay, what do you want to talk about?" She goes, "I don't know, but I'll know as I talk about it." And I'm like, "Whoa, dude, you think differently than I do." And over the years, I've learned to appreciate that, but at the time, it was like shocking to me. She was different than me. Anyway, we also know that your success in life will be influenced by your personality far more than by your intellect. It hugely impacts your ability to get along with others and so your success in life. So, it's good to know some things about personality as you're going forth to serve, to know about your personality and others. And here's some tips, just three things. First of all, be aware of the differences in personalities, okay? Just realize not everybody is like you. Romans 15:7 says this, "Accept each other just as Christ has accepted you." When I was in college, I had a roommate, and he would go home on the weekends, and then he'd come back Sunday night late. Sometimes he'd get back at midnight, and he'd come in the room and usually wake me up, and I'd say, "Hi, Paul, how was your weekend?" He'd go, "Great!" I'd be like, "Shh, people are sleeping." He goes, "Oh, sorry!" I'd be like, "Man, let's be quiet." He goes, "You need to whisper." He goes, "Okay, I'll whisper." And I'm telling you, the guy could not whisper. He just couldn't do it. And it drove me crazy for a while, and then I just realized, you know what? He's just different. I'm just going to have to accept that. That's just who he is. And to this day, I'm sure he's married and his wife deals with it. Anyway, second tip, we need to accept those personality differences, like with my friend Paul. Romans 14:13 says, "Let us therefore stop turning critical eyes on one another. Let us rather be critical of our own conduct and see that we do nothing to make a brother stumble." And then the third tip is to appreciate personality differences. Ephesians 4:2 says, "Generously make allowances for each other because you love each other." Make allowances. I don't know about you, but there are certain personalities that just rub me the wrong way. I'm sure that's true for all of us, you know. There's just some people. For me, it's leaders who are too strong, like they come across like just over the top, you know, like dictators. And it just drives me crazy. But I had one particular friend named Walter, and whenever we'd confront a problem in the ministry, Walter was a leader, and sometimes he'd drive me crazy. But you know what? He could think outside the box and just see things in a way that I never could. And he could solve the problem in a way I never would have come up with. And I learned to appreciate this character of leadership and his personality. And I thought, you know what? If we ever go to war, I want him to be my general. Because you know what? We'll win. Because he's going to think outside the box. So learn to appreciate those things in people's personalities that maybe drive you the wrong way. We all need those things to complement us. So, in the area of personality, I have some homework for you, okay? So if you can't remember it, write this down. I want you to go home, make a list of the traits that characterize your personality. And you can look online and there's lists, you know, like you're an introvert and you like variety and, you know, those kind of things. List them all out and then go through them and thank God that you are unique. Thank him for making you the way he made you. It's a wonderful thing. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. And then you need to ask some questions. Three questions in particular I'm thinking of. What does this say about the kind of going or serving that you should be involved in based on your personality? Secondly, what ministry should you have? You know, like I said, if you're really, really introverted, probably want to leave out the whole greeter thing. But maybe you'd fit really well over in this area. So just think that through. And then third, what kind of personalities would I expect God to bring into my life to kind of balance who I am? And start looking for those people. We all need to have balance in our lives. So, that's the P in our acrostic shape. The bottom line is this, in your personality, you are unique. God made you the way you are. Your personality can be used for him to glorify him, to bless other people, and bring the lost to Christ. If you find the right place to serve in your personality. Okay? So let's take a look briefly at the letter E in our shape acrostic. And that stands for experiences. You know, you and I are all shaped by our life experiences. Job was no exception. He, in verse or chapter 10, verse 8, said this, God's hands formed and shaped me. If you know anything about the life of Job, he went through some really, really tough experiences. And toward the end, he says, God formed and shaped me. He used all those experiences to shape my life. You know, there's many types of experiences that shape us. Family experiences. Now, who in here couldn't tell some family story that has shaped your life? All of us, positive or negative, have stories to tell about our family, whatever it looked like that made us who we are today. Educational experiences shape us. I remember I had an English teacher in high school who encouraged me so much. She just kind of took me aside and had me do some special things and told me I was gifted and all this stuff. And it just made me feel like, you know what? I have a place. I'm unique. I can do some things. And so our educational experiences have an impact on us. Vocational, depending on the jobs you've had, that's part of your shape. I remember, how could I forget, 30 years with Campus Crusade for Christ gave me lots of ministry experiences that make me more equipped to serve as missions pastor here at Gateway Fellowship. And I'm thankful for those vocational experiences. How about spiritual experiences? I'll never be the same. As a sophomore in college, I met the Lord Jesus personally, and it totally changed my shape, and it's impacted me to this very day. So our spiritual experiences shape who we are. Ministry experiences. I remember one time I was with Pastor Mark Pearson in China, and we were walking across this campus up in northern China, and there was a ditch that was being dug clear across the campus. And there was a work crew of men that were doing it, and all they had were picks and shovels, doing this by hand. And you could tell they were prisoners. And they were stripped to the waist, no shirts on, just long cotton pants. And it was snowing out, and they were working so hard they were sweating. And I remember Pastor Mark stopped, and he looked at me and says, Dave, can you imagine being part of that group? And I said, you know what, Mark? There's a good chance those guys are all our brothers, and they're suffering for their faith in China. And he looked at me, and I could tell it just changed him. It had an impact on him. And ever since then, or ever after that, he remembered the needs in China and prayed for them. So our ministry experiences have an impact too. And then lastly, painful experiences. They have an impact on us. And you know what? God can use even the negative, painful experiences in our lives to make us more effective and successful for his glory as we go and serve. In fact, Rick Warren wrote this. He said, God never wastes a hurt. In fact, your greatest ministry will most likely come out of your greatest hurt. He went on to write, the very experiences that you have resented or regretted most in life, the ones you've wanted to hide or forget, are the experiences God wants to use to help others. They are your ministry. Have you ever thought about that? The things that have been hardest in your life may be the things that God uses the most as you reach out and serve and minister to others. It's an amazing thought. And I believe that God sometimes intentionally allows us to go through those tough times to better equip us for ministry to others. You know, in my own life, I've had several painful experiences that have impacted me deeply. One was through a ministry change that happened when a co-worker who I'd worked with for a number of years, and we'd been through many things together, in my view at that point, stabbed me in the back. And it was really, really, really painful. But you know what? God has used that for good, because it happens. Stuff like that happens, right? And so when I come across people now who are going through that kind of pain, I really can reach out to them and say, you know what? I know what that feels like. And I can come alongside and try and encourage and help them. So God, I think, uses those experiences in our lives so that we can be more effective in ministry. Paul had such times. In 2 Corinthians 1, he wrote this. He said, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we'll be able to give them the same comfort God has given us." And isn't that the truth? The things that you have suffered, where God's comforted you, allow you to comfort others who are going through similar type things. Sometimes it's later that we understand the whys of our experiences. Jesus was talking to the disciples in John 13. He said, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you'll understand," which they did. Sometimes in our experience, we don't know why we're going through what we're going through, but later we can look back and say, "Oh, okay. I can see what God did in my life and through my life through that experience." You know, I mentioned earlier I had that negative experience. Actually, I've had three like that. Three different negative experiences that totally changed my direction in ministry. And at the time, they were very painful. But I have to say that God used them in wonderful ways. I never would have been involved with China ministry if it hadn't been for one of those. I never would have been at this church if it hadn't been for one of those. And I am so grateful for the opportunities God has given me through those tough, tough experiences. And sometimes, you know, the saying is, hindsight is 20/20. I'm so grateful for them now, but they sure hurt then. Paul could relate. In 2 Corinthians 1, he went on to write this. He said, "We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. And we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God, who raises the dead. And he did rescue us from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us." It was those very challenging experiences in Paul's life that were used by God to make him even more effective in his ministry as a missionary. And I think that's true for all of us. So it is with you and me. I think there are at least three reasons that God allows us to go through these negative experiences, and I want to give you those three. First of all, to teach us to trust God. I just read that passage about Paul, how the things where he thought he was going to die made him trust God more. This happened so that we might learn to trust, not in ourselves, but in God. I remember when Becky and I were first married 32 years ago, we were working with Campus Crusade for Christ, and we were raising our own financial support as missionaries. And 1 month, our check came in, and basically it was a zero paycheck. There wasn't enough money that came into our account to pay us. And I remember that really hit me in the heart, because I'm a guy who likes to pay my bills on time, and I couldn't do it. And I remember just through my tears asking the Lord to provide. And so we sent out a letter to all of our ministry partners. And you know, God used that. He provided abundantly beyond, like three times what we needed. And I'll never forget that. God showed me that he is able to take care of me. And that and many similar experiences have taught me to trust him over the years. You know what? He'll take care of us. He'll take care of us. I don't have to worry about it. I just need to seek him, trust him, and he'll take care of us about it. So those negative experiences teach us to trust God. Secondly, I think he uses those experiences to build our character. Romans 5:4 says, we know that suffering produces in perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. So those trials create character and hope. Some of you know the name Corrie Ten Boom. She was a lady who lived through a Nazi concentration camp. Horrible experience. Lost her father, lost her sister. And years later, she told how many people through the years would come to her and say, Corrie, I just so appreciate your character. It's amazing. But she said nobody ever came to her and said, I wish I could go through the experiences you did. You know, the experiences make the character, but they're not always easy. God uses them, though, to build our character. Then the third tip I'd give you is I think that he allows those things to accomplish his purposes in ways that we can't fully comprehend. In Philippians 1, Paul is writing from a Philippian jail, or from a Roman jail. He's actually chained there to a Roman guard. And he says this, what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Can you imagine that? Think about it. If you're chained in a prison, could you write to your loved ones and say, God's using this to advance the gospel. It's good. Wow. That's perspective. But he can use the suffering in our lives, the hard experiences, to accomplish his purposes. So, Aldous Huxley said this, and I think it's profound. Experience is not what happens to you. It's what you do with what happens to you. That's what experience is all about. So the question, it begs the question, what will you do with the experiences that God has given you? Don't waste your pain. Use it to help others. Let your experiences be used by God for his glory. So, remember our main point this morning. To be most successful and effective in serving the Lord in our going, you should seek avenues of going and service that best express your personality and your experiences, whatever those may be. Okay, we've covered the acrostic SHAPE, S-H-A-P-E, our spiritual gifts, our heart or passions, our abilities, our personality, our experiences, all make us who we are, unique people in all the world. And God wants to use that. But knowing is not enough. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, obey my commandments. He said it again in the passage I said right at the beginning of the message, go and make disciples of all the nations, teaching them, what? To obey all that I've commanded you. And in the West, we've tended to land on all the commandments, teach them all the commandments. But really what it says is teach them to obey all the commandments. So I think we need to have an obedience-based, grace-oriented discipleship in our churches so that when the word is preached, we don't just say, well, that was a nice sermon. We say, okay, what can I do with that? How can I obey the Lord? What is he saying to me? And that's where we're at this morning. Howard Hendricks put it a little more straightforward. He said this. He said, interpretation without application is abortion. So if you've heard all this these 5 weeks about going and serving and you don't do anything with it, well, that's not the best thing in the world. So I want to give you an opportunity to apply what you've been learning from God's Word these last 5 weeks. So if you would, at the end of your rows, there should be a pile of these catalogs. If you would take one and pass those along so that everybody gets one, this is a list of opportunities to serve at Gateway Fellowship. And we put this together because many of you just don't know the opportunities. And if you open up and look inside, you'll see it's organized by category. Children's ministries, miscellaneous, student ministries, missions, music, creative arts, welcome team, young adults and families. So what I'd like you to do with this is take it home and just pray over it. Say, Lord, is there an area in here where you'd like me or us to serve? And many of you are already serving, and I want to say thank you. I know that. I know that's true. God bless you. But maybe the Lord will use this to either change your ministry or add to your ministry. But if you're one of those people sitting out there who's not serving, I would encourage you to think about getting involved. You know, there's a secret I want to tell you. Many people in a church our size think that there's so many people here that all the needs are being filled, that there's no need. That's not true. Not even close to true. Every week we have needs that are going unfilled because we don't have enough people serving. Just take a look at children's ministries. It's this whole first page and half the second. Pastor Shelley was telling me she has to fill 180 positions, I think she told me, every week to make the children's ministry operate. That's not easy. We need more people. And that's true in all these categories. So I'm encouraging you, would you just prayerfully consider how God would want you to respond to this GO series, how he'd want to use your shape here at Gateway Fellowship. With that in mind, I just want you to know, as you do that, I believe that you'll bless others. I believe you'll please the Lord as you obey him in that. And I think you'll bless yourself, because as you're serving out of your shape, you tend to be the one that gets blessed. It's motivating. It's encouraging. So with that in mind, I'd just like to close our time in prayer. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for the unique way that you made each one of us today. Through the spiritual gifts you've given us, the passions of our hearts, the abilities, the personalities, the experiences, you have made us unique, uniquely capable of serving you in unique ways. And I pray that you'd lead each of us into those areas where you want us to serve. Thank you for the privilege of going. Thank you that you left us here for that very purpose. And I pray that you just guide us, lead us, and raise up a core of volunteers that would make an impact on this church, on this community, and on the world. Lord, I ask you for it, because I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, I trust that we'll bless the Lord as we go and serve him as we leave today. I just want to share with you an admonition from 1 Thessalonians 5:23. It says this: Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. I look forward to seeing where you're serving. Thank you.
To find out more about Gateway Fellowship or our terms of use, check us out at gatewayfellowship.com.